Is it Ms. Nelson?
May it please the court. My name is Karen Carson.
Before you get started, let's get everybody in place. And you are Ms. Nelson?
Yes, may it please the court. My name is Karen Nelson.
And let's make sure, I'm sure you're just about to do this, but are you representing mom or dad?
Sabrina Osborne.
Okay.
And she is the mother. And I would like to use 6 minutes for my opening statements. I'm giving 2 minutes to Christopher Osborne, and then I'm reserving 2 minutes for a rebuttal.
Okay. Okay. Is that agreeable? You're Mr. Osborne, that's agreeable to you?
Yes.
Okay, you may proceed.
All right. As this court is aware, parents have a fundamental liberty interest in raising their children, and I think this case goes to the heart of that. This case, I think, was filed by the Douglas County Attorney's Office in August of 2014, and it involved Slono, and it had allegations against the father and father only, although it didn't identify Sabrina Osborne as the mother. There was a detention hearing. The father was given notice of that hearing and properly served. However, the mother was never given notice or properly served with that detention hearing as required under 43268, and that statute then references Section 2550.
What ultimately happened in this case?
What
ultimately happened at this point? Was the juvenile adjudicated as dependent, neglected, and in custody then transferred to the Department of Health and Human Services?
At the detention hearing, Sloan was placed in the temporary custody of the department. And then the mother in October filed a motion for custody. That was denied because it was determined that she needed to file a complaint to intervene. And
that's the issue you're really arguing, isn't it? That she didn't need to file an intervention.
She did not need to file.
She was entitled to custody if and until the state proved otherwise.
Correct. She is a natural parent. There were no allegations against her. Even as we stand here today, there are no allegations against her. I think the case law is just replete that she has substantive due process rights, procedural due process rights, and the case law is clear that she is a natural parent, and unless there are allegations against her, she should be entitled to custody of her child.
Okay, but what is at the same time, isn't something going on with regard to the child and the child's problems, and so the court's trying to get the child in a placement, too, for the child's interest?
There is a collateral docket where the child's on probation, but I would liken
this. But she's not placed in physical custody with any institution like Geneva or anything else.
That's correct.
So the actual physical custody of the mother has never been decided, right?
Correct. In fact, there's a divorce case where she has custody, and I think sometimes the juvenile court placement, I would say, would be into something like physical custody in a divorce case, and custody would be like legal custody. And at this point, the mother has no rights at all.
Who has legal custody now?
Health and Human Services. She can't make medical decisions for her child. She can't make educational decisions for her child. She can't make disciplinary decisions for her child. Nothing. And there's no allegations for her. There's no allegation she's unfit. There's no.
Well, let's theoretically assume that you are correct and that she did not need to file any extra documents to be part of the process below. What do you want this court to do then?
I think her motion for custody should have been granted. And she should be given custody of her child. And if you look at...
You want this court to give custody to your client?
Yes, or at least order the juvenile court to give custody.
Well, I thought you said the divorce court had given her custody.
The divorce court did.
Is that in our record? Do we have that?
I believe that it was offered into evidence at the motion for custody in November.
We don't need it, do we? If she's the parent, she has a right until that's been determined otherwise.
Correct.
So you weren't granted a hearing on custody.
We filed a motion for custody.
But that your point is you don't need a hearing because she is the natural mother, and you prove that by a birth certificate, is that right?
Correct.
So,
but we did file a motion.
Yeah.
It was heard in November. At that hearing...
Was your motion heard in November?
Yes. And at that hearing, we offered the birth certificate showing she was the mother, offered the temporary order showing that she had custody. The mother testified.
Temporary order from the divorce court?
Correct.
All right.
And testified, you know, that she would comply with any order from the juvenile court following the rules for visitation with dad or whatever else. And the state at that point the state or guardian ad litem had notice of the motion for custody. There was no response of pleadings filed in terms of an objection or response of pleading. They objected, but there was no evidence showing that she was unfit at that hearing.
Well, then what happened?
Oh, pardon me. Who interjected the notion of intervention into that proceeding?
The juvenile court then set forth a briefing schedule because the court, I think, on page 25 of the transcript, or bill of exceptions, I'm sorry, said, well, I'm not going to be able to do this today. And then at that point, we had a briefing schedule, and then in his decision said, nope, you didn't file the complaint to intervene, so you lose.
So
did you know this was an issue?
No.
And your position from initially was based on, well, I'll say it's customarily that jurisdiction over the child yields jurisdiction over the parents.
Correct, under 43.245.19.
And that's kind of what you thought was the floor.
Yes.
Okay.
And the state raises In Re Interest of Canna T and says, as a parent, you have to intervene, but Canna T is completely different because that was a putative father who hadn't established paternity.
So you're asking the court to determine that you don't have to intervene, and to reverse the decision of the juvenile court on the custody issue.
Correct.
It's not a remand back for a hearing, it's a reversal.
Correct.
Do you think that the juvenile court judge got to the merits of your motion for custody?
No.
So wouldn't we have to remand it then?
I think that this court has enough evidence based on case law and everything else. And I think, in fact, under In Re Interest of BJM, there was such a pervasive, permeating denial of due process that it can even reverse the adjudication on the father and just dismiss.
Where is the child living now? That's
with the mother.
She is with the mother.
She is with the mother. She has placement, but she does not have custody. I would reserve my time.
Thank you. Mr. Osborne, you're representing yourself, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And we have 2 minutes for this?
Yes.
Okay, you may proceed. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I was appointed a state counsel, a public defender. I had several problems with him. I had eyewitnesses that said that I did not abuse my daughter. He did not want to hear that. They came forward to him. They tried coming forward to the Department of Health and Human Services. They failed to leave them out of the investigation and the reports. I had law enforcement from Council Bluffs, Iowa that was willing to come and testify because we had been doing this whole process over there for the previous year. The court, he also wouldn't bring up that my daughter has been diagnosed with about 5 different mental disorders, and she's supposed to be on mood-altering, stabilizing drugs. And they were pulled from her about a week and a half before her testimony and started again 3 days after her testimony. That made her very sporadic. They failed to recognize the fact that she was an angry 15-year-old drug addict that got turned in by her father to the Ralston Police Department because he caught her in possession, felony possession of narcotics.
Now, you're appealing from the adjudication that determined that the custody should be placed in the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes, sir.
But is there an alternate plan now in place to get you reunited or whatever is necessary to establish visitations for your child?
There has been. I was involved in therapy with my daughter, and during that therapy, she actually had come clean to her therapist about it, and she also called her guardian ad litem from treatment to state that she exaggerated the instance because she knew that how to say it to get into state custody because she thought she would become emancipated and be an adult.
These are all things that are not in the record before us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Mr. Klo?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Anthony Klo. I am a juvenile deputy county attorney out of Douglas County, appearing here on behalf of the state as the FLE. I would ask that I reserve 5 minutes for myself and 5 minutes for the guardian ad litem. I begin by asking that this court affirm the orders in both the motion for custody by the mother and the adjudication for the father in this case.
Did the trial court reach the custody issue with the mother?
We never got to, we never addressed the issue of that because he found that she had failed to intervene and therefore was not a party to the case.
Why does she have to intervene? Don't you have to make her a party if you want to take away her custody of the child?
At the time of the filing, mother was married to and living with Mr. Osborne. At the protective custody hearing, there was a finding made that placement would have to exclude the parental home of the mother, or I apologize, of the father. Mm-hmm. And at that time, their home was one and the same. Additionally, I think that statute number 25-330 is very clear in that it requires any person seeking to become a party to a case to file a formal written complaint to intervene into a case.
But that's not dealing with the juvenile court and the rights of the mother, they're already established, aren't they? She has, until the court determined otherwise, she had legal custody of the child, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
How can the trial court take that away from her without having a hearing and having her as a party?
I guess I would again point to the fact that that there was a hearing that was had and that the father was served and had notice. And the evidence before the court at that time was that the two of them were married and living together at the time of these incidents.
But if the state chooses just to adjudicate the rights of the father with regard to custody, can it adjudicate the rights of the mother if it doesn't make the mother a party to the action?
At the time of the filing, I guess the initial information that the state had was that the mother was just a stepmother. It turned out that she was the adoptive legal mother, and that's why she was not included on the filing originally.
So you made a mistake there, and so her rights are still what they are before the hearing and after the hearing.
Well, the after... the information that she was the adoptive legal mother, I did not find out until after the protective course of custody order had already been entered.
Well, I don't want to take you away from the rest of your argument.
Well, let's hypothetically assume that Mom is right. She didn't have to file a motion to intervene. Did the trial court reach the merits of her custody motion? What would we have to do on this level?
I believe that we would have to remand it back for further hearing because the order denying her motion for custody. It only established placement pursuant to her delinquency docket, as he'd already previously found that she needed dual diagnosis treatment, and he'd ordered that to take place at the Nova Treatment Facility in Omaha.
What would the juvenile court do with regard to the mother? The mother already has legal custody.
Well, at that point, the court did order that she wasn't a party, and therefore she needed to intervene to become a party to raise the issue.
Who raised this intervention issue?
Who raised it? I believe that there was mention of it by the Department of Health and Human Services, but I do believe that the court elaborated on that in its ruling.
And how did that get generated by the department? On the basis of misinformation about mom's legal status vis-a-vis the child?
No, just that I believe that they were under the impression that that they needed to file a motion to a complaint to intervene before they could be a party to the case. Without being a party to the case, they could not then raise a motion to the court seeking
the
to have custody.
The view of the department is that parents need to intervene in juvenile matters?
That was their opinion in this case.
In this case or
yes.
Everywhere?
Well, it's, I guess, common practice that parents intervene in most cases before they're heard in juvenile court.
Is that right?
That's the practice. I believe in all the case law cited by the appellant in this case, every case starts with a parent intervening before any other decision is made. For instance, in Stephanie H., there was two motions for custody. When the Supreme Court decided Stephanie H., may I finish my thought?
You may.
And when they made the decision on Stephanie H., they referred only to the latter after the intervention had occurred and after the mother had gained a temporary custody order through the district court. And I guess that's why the state would again point to the fact that an intervention is necessary.
Thank you very much. Mr. Finley, good morning to you.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. My name is Bo Finley. I appear as the guardian ad litem for the child in this matter. I'm trying to address the issue of the 3A regarding Mr. Osborne first, if I may. There were principally two witnesses at that adjudication, one being the child, and one being April Carlson, who was an initial assessment worker working for the state of Nebraska, who testified that she had interviewed the father within 24 to 48 hours after the incident that allegedly occurred on July 30th, 2014. Based upon their testimony, there seems to be three main incidents involving Mr. Osborne. The first occurred on the 30th. Actually, they all occurred on the 30th of July of 2014. But the first happened in Ralston in the family home. The child indicates that she was in possession of a controlled substance. That controlled substance was dropped on the ground. The father saw this, confronted her. After determining what it was, flew into a bit of a rage and struck her twice.
Is this
corroborated.
Is this the Percocet you're talking about?
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear. Is this the Percocet pill you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. That testimony from the child is corroborated by Exhibits 2 through 7, which depict facial bruising and marks, and it also is corroborated by April Carlson's testimony that she observed the child and she witnessed that marking. From there, the second incident is they go across the river to Council Bluffs because the father wants to find out where this child came up with this control, she found this controlled substance. Well, she got it from her grandmother, the mother of Christopher Osborne. At that time, the child, for reasons that are a little hard to understand, feigned drinking hand sanitizer. This further upset the father, who then threw her on the ground, striking her in the face again. And this is corroborated by not only, the child said this, but it's corroborated by Mr. Osborne via his interview with April Carlson. It finally culminates in them returning to the family home, and both the child and April Carlson say that the father then chained, their words, not mine, chained the child to a couch in the living room and left her there overnight. The allegations by the state are that the father struck the child, leaving marks and bruises. There's clearly preponderance of the evidence for that. That the father used excessive discipline, there's clearly preponderance of the evidence for that.
So you're supporting the adjudication with regard to the father. You're supporting the adjudication with regard to the father.
I am.
What's your position with regard to the mother with whom the child has been living since this all occurred?
I'm very supportive of the mother's rights to have custody here. I believe that she does. Stephanie H. applies in this case, but there is exclusive original jurisdiction bestowed upon the juvenile court pursuant to their finding in JV 14-1320, which is articulated on the record, that court made a finding as to rehabilitative efforts that were necessary, made a finding as to jurisdiction. That court took over that child in a delinquency proceeding, and further, that those rehabilitative efforts had a dispositional hearing in which the mother had every opportunity to avail herself of and be a part of. He found that it was her therapeutic well-being, the court's words, that she be placed in a rehabilitative facility for the time being. What the mother, as best I can determine, was trying to do was remove her from that rehabilitative setting. And that's where I came in. That's my objection. I believe the mother does have legal custody, but her legal custody does not trump that of the original jurisdiction had by the juvenile courts. Now, upon an appropriate finding that it is in the best interest of that child and it is in her therapeutic best interest to return to the family home and leave that rehabilitation facility because of her profound substance abuse issues, once that finding's been made that allows the inclusion of placement in the family home, then physical custody can happen.
Well, why can't the court order physical custody subject to this rehab treatment?
I think they certainly could, but I never got that caveat in the pleadings and in the prayer made by the appellant in this case.
But this whole case started out as an adjudication with regard to the father, and the mother was not in the case at all.
That's true.
And never has been in the case. Even when she tried to get into the case, the court said, well, you have to file a motion to intervene. So where does the court have jurisdiction over the mother's rights in this
Justice
case?
Justice Miller-Lerman had raised that question before, and I wanted to, and the idea of custom had come out. It is the custom of Douglas County Juvenile Court, rightly or wrongly, to follow the Kiana T. model that I described in the brief, that if a parent is unpled and there are no allegations against them, they still must file a motion to intervene. I conceded in my brief that I thought the appellant's position as to 43-245-19 makes sense, that they should be a party.
So what do you think this court should do then? Do we remand it back down to the juvenile court, or can we dispose of it here?
I don't think you get it. There has been no findings because the court found preliminarily that there was no standing, that I don't think there was been any factual findings as to custody. And maybe those can be dispensed with very quickly, but the fact is there still needs to be those findings. And so that's the only manner in which I think this court can handle. I don't think you can get to the substantive issue. You can address the issue of standing and then ask the court for further proceeding.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
And do we have time for rebuttal? 56 seconds, Ms. Nelson.
I respectfully disagree with counsel. I don't think that there's any way this court can circumvent the fact that there is error permeated in the proceeding. While it might be the custom for there to be complaints to intervene, the fact that there are additional barriers for parents to come in and essentially putting the burden on the parent when in fact the burden should be on the state to remove children from their parents is just unfathomable to me.
Counsel, what effect, had the trial court said, no, you don't have to intervene, yes, you're entitled to custody, But there's this other docket that has a treatment plan in place. It's subject to that treatment plan.
Great. Then essentially she would have had legal custody. She could have gone in and participated and been able to essentially help make all of those legal decisions. But right now, she can't do any of those things. Can I finish my thought? She can't go in and make medical decisions. She can't make educational decisions. She can't make any of the decisions that any other parent at a treatment facility would do. So when the child gets in trouble, they don't call the parent, they call the department. And who's to say that the department's a better parent than my client?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.